Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Even though you make payroll every Friday, you don't have a guaranteed paycheck. You're the owner, and you eat what you kill. We are back. It's 13 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. And I am very excited about who our guest is today, and having her with us on the show is a new friend. Sheree Carter-Scott, Ph.D., is the author of the best-selling Negaholics, which is she's a corporate trainer and management consultant. She's chairperson of Motivation Management Services Institute. She's worked with over 200,000 people worldwide, leading seminars of self-esteem, communication, and leadership skills, and team building. She's the author of a book I'm holding in my hand, folks, which is called If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules, and it is written around 10 rules for being human that you probably have seen over the last 25 years. This is the lady that developed these rules. Sheree Carter-Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Great to be here.
It's great to have you with us, and I know that so many people who are listening and millions of people around the world are familiar with your 10 rules for being human. And folks, there's a great story about how she came to light as the author of those rules, because initially these rules were printed and were attributed to somebody named Anonymous.
That's right.
Right?
Tell
us that story.
Well, it was about 1974, and I was a small business owner with my organization called Motivation Management Service, words I looked up in the dictionary, and I was designing a course in coaching skills for people to be able to learn how to coach others. That was before coaching became fashionable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sitting with my colleague, and she said, you know, it's so easy when you get a car. They give you a manual. Some light goes on the dashboard. You can look it up in the manual, and you can know exactly what to do. She said, but being human isn't quite so easy. I said, you know, we need some kind of a book, a list, a checklist. She said, yeah, what would you call it? I said, I'd call it the rules for being human. She said, that's great. Where would you start? And I said to her, well, if you're playing Monopoly, you start with a Scotty dog or a top hat or an iron to move around the board game. But I think in the game of human, you need a body. So I would start with a body. We all get a body.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, these 10 little rules kind of cascaded themselves out of the paper very quickly, very easily, very smoothly. And we included them in the training manual for the consultants training, this course we were teaching. Well, lo and behold, time passed, and one person photocopied the list and passed it on to others, and somebody else photocopied it and passed it on to others, and before we knew it, it had circulated around the globe, and people, you know, said...
But the author had dropped off.
That's right.
In the process.
That's exactly right. So in 1993, an old friend of mine, Jack Canfield, published a book called Chicken Soup for the Soul.
As late as 93, we're talking 19 years later.
That's right. And on page 81, he had the rules for being human by Anonymous.
And you guys had known each other all these years.
Oh, since probably the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
And so what happened then is that I got a phone call from another friend named Dan Millman, who wrote The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. And Dan said to me, hey, didn't you write these? And I said, yeah, I did. And he said, well, don't you think it's time you got credit? And I said, oh, I don't know. If people are getting value, I think that's probably just fine. He said, stop it. Stop it. It's time you got credit. So he called Jack, and he said, Sheree wrote these. Jack called me and said, did you? I said, I did. And then he said, I'll give you credit the next printing. Next printing came out, and I had credit. My name was under it, and there was a way to contact me in the back of the book. And I got all these phone calls from people saying, I'd like to take your skeleton, your rules, and I'd like to write a book about it.
Huh.
I thought, how do I pick one person out of all these strangers to write this book?
Mm-hmm.
And then it dawned on me. Perhaps I'm supposed to write it.
Yeah.
So I put together a book proposal and kind of got the things together I know to do to write a book, because this would have been my fifth book. So I did that, and I submitted it to my agent, and my agent rejected it.
Your agent rejected it?
He said, do it again. It's not good enough. So I did it again, and then he said, do it again. I did it again. He said, do it again. So by 7 drafts of this proposal, I thought maybe I should have chosen one of those strangers to write this book at this point.
They were a little more motivated than your agent was.
Well, yeah. So finally my agent accepted it, and then we sold the book to Broadway Books and then wrote it. And a kind of phenomena happened. When the book was in print, just barely in print, I got a call from Oprah asking if I'd be on the show. And I'd been on Oprah before with Eggaholics. And so, but the show was bumped for an after-school special.
Hmm.
So it's one thing to get on Oprah, it's something else to have it aired.
Right.
And so I'd been through this process, you know, before, so I said, yeah, okay, I'll be on the show, that's fine. Not thinking it would be aired, or not necessarily having that expectation. And then the show was aired. And it happened on the 15th of September. That day, our book went from number 22,000 on Amazon.com to number 1 in 12 hours.
Wow.
And every book in America, 43,000 books, sold out that day.
Golly. I've heard that about Oprah. I've heard that if you get on Oprah, and as you say, if you actually get aired,
yeah,
that it can do that for you for your book.
Well, she loved the book so much, and she held it up to, and she said, if you don't get it for yourself, get it for your business partner, get it for your children, get it for someone, but
yeah,
get this book.
Yeah.
And it was quite an endorsement.
And what Oprah says, America does.
Absolutely.
Seemingly.
Yeah, it was an amazing day. Things really changed.
I wanted my audience to hear that story.
Yeah.
Because I wanted them to hear you speaking about the process that you went through. I wanted them to hear that you wrote something, you did something really good and really, really quality and really important. And then 19 years later, you got some credit for it, which you didn't seek. And after thinking that maybe you should take this thing and run with it, it took you all those other tries, even with people who basically were your employees, your agent, it took you all those other tries to actually make this happen. And that's the kind of thing that small business owners know a lot about. And as a small business owner for a long time, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, this book is a lot about learning those lessons.
Yeah. When we come back, folks, we're going to talk about rule number one, you will receive a body. And we're going to move on. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Sheree Carter-Scott, author of If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules, is our guest and our new friend. It's 20 after, 888-822-8255. Don't go away. We're back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And you're listening to the show that is dedicated to providing small business owners with the maximum opportunity to be successful. And one of the things that you need to be able to be successful is you have to be able to nurture your spirit. You have to be able to take care of yourself, your mind, body, and soul. Not just professionally. You don't need to just work on your professional life. You've got to work on your spiritual life. You've got to work on your personal life and your social life. And one of the folks who is joining us on the show to help us do that is Sheree Carter-Scott. She's our new friend and our guest this hour. She's the author of If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules. This book is written around her 10 Rules for Being Human, which she composed 25 years ago as a 5-year-old, right, Sheree?
Aren't you the sweetest?
And we're talking about rule number one, you will receive a body. It had to start with that, didn't it?
It had to start with that because all humans, at least everyone I know, has one. And sometimes it's a blessing and sometimes it's a curse, but it's a thing that you have to work with because there are no exchanges or refunds.
But you know, people talk, you just said that sometimes it's a blessing and it's a curse, and probably the first thought that someone, that was in someone's mind initially was, okay, I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm tall, I'm skinny, I'm whatever, and so for me it's a curse. And the truth is it might be a blessing, regardless of how you look. It depends on how you look at it, isn't it?
Definitely. As a matter of fact, a lot of us think that the one that we got wasn't the one that we were supposed to get.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the one the other day at the gym that I was supposed to get, actually. I looked across.
But how old was it?
It was young.
Yes.
It was tall. It was lean.
Did it have thighs?
Very little ones.
Very little ones.
Little ones.
What's that old saying? You can never be too rich or too thin?
Or have two thin thighs.
That's right.
So I looked over there and I said, now, what went wrong? I know I was supposed to get that body.
Uh-huh.
But it was as if my spirit and my body were separated at birth. And I got some other body. Anyway, it's a funny kind of thing that a lot of us think, you know, I got this one, and I don't know why I got it, because it was supposed to have been different. Smaller in some places, bigger in other places. And you know, the deal is that the first thing you have to do is you have to come to terms with the one that you got, because that's the partnership. That's the essential partnership, you and your body, that you have to work with.
Well, it's the vessel that you've been given to navigate this life with, and you can modify it a little bit. You can trim the sails a little bit, and you can tuck this in and bulge that part out. But basically, it's not going to change that much. And you might as well do something that you talk about in this chapter, and that's acceptance.
Yeah, acceptance is really important, because otherwise you end up fighting with it all the time. You know, it's saying to your friends, "I would come to the party tonight if I could leave my body home. I'd be there." But it really, it's the thing that you want to take with you, that you want to acknowledge, that you want to care for, that you want to give to, as opposed to just treating it like the garage.
Mm-hmm. Well, the media contributes a lot to this lack of acceptance, doesn't it? Our culture.
When it holds up in front of our faces these gorgeous, perfect people, and then you start comparing yourself to Cindy Crawford, it's a lose game, and you start becoming an alcoholic.
You know, I quit comparing myself to Cindy Crawford a long time ago, and ever since I've done that, things have been a lot better for me. But if you ever watch, and I never watch these, but sometimes, you know, you just flip through and you see a sitcom.
Yes.
I don't mean a sitcom, I mean a soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
And here are all these people, nobody's over 25, and they're all beautiful, and they've all got these wonderful jobs. I mean, that's not the way the world really is.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't at all. And the key thing here has to do with accepting what you've got, as opposed to comparing yourself to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Either other people on television or people at the gym or just people in your life that you think are better than you in some way. It's accepting the body that you received, working with it, nurturing it, caring for it, and making it the temple of your soul, as opposed to the garbage dump.
My goal is to keep my body, this vessel, in good operating condition. And you know, obviously I want to be slim if I can be, which I'm not as slim as I'd like to be, and I'd like to look as nice as I can. But basically, I just want this body to get me where I need to go. I'm more interested in nurturing my spirit.
Yeah.
I'd rather spend more time on my spirit.
Well, that's good. Then we can go to number two.
Yeah. All right.
You'll be presented with lessons. You may like these lessons, or you may hate these lessons, but they're yours, and you've designed them as part of your curriculum.
Hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Sheree Carter Scott, the author of If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules, the book written around 10 rules for being human. And we're talking about rule number two, you will be presented with lessons. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. If you'd like to join us with a question or a comment, 888-822-8255. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate your business. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you want to give us a call, James Pearson's on the board. He'll take your call, and he's the best, and put you right through to me and our special guest, our new friend, Sheree Carter Scott, Ph.D., who is the author of If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules, 10 Rules for Being Human. And you may have seen these rules in Chicken Soup for the Soul. You may have seen them in Ann Landers. You may have picked them up off. They may be stuck, magnetized to your refrigerator in your kitchen, and could have seen them a lot of different ways. Well, the lady who's our guest this hour is a lady who developed those rules, and we're talking about them right now. And Sheree, the rule number two is you will be presented with lessons.
That's right. And they could be a variety of different lessons depending upon who you are and what you need to learn. But it's an interesting challenge. I mean, one of the things that my publicist said to me is that, just as you said, these rules have been sitting in my drawer for 10 years. And I said, well, consider me coming out of the drawer.
That's great. One of the things that you point out, and I agree with you on in this chapter, is if you're going to be able to deal with the lessons you're going to get, you have to be open to them, don't you?
Well, yes, otherwise they'll just, as rule number four says, they'll keep coming back again.
Well, yeah, and I've been saying, one of the things that I say is it's interesting to me to observe the people who are 50 who are making the same mistakes they made when they were 25.
Yes, because they haven't gotten it yet. They keep thinking that it's somebody out there that's doing it or some situation outside of them, as opposed to that it's really them.
It's not their fault. If all these other people would behave themselves, if they would do what they were supposed to do, I'd have the kind of life that I deserve.
There you go.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It's my brain.
How can people recognize their lessons?
Well, sometimes they're really obvious. In other words, one of the lessons that I have had to learn out of necessity in this life is patience.
Ouch.
And, you know, the way I noticed that I have to learn the lesson of patience is that I end up in lines, traffic jams.
I know it. I hate that.
And every time I'm there, I'll notice the frustration level. I'll notice the intolerance. I'll notice that, and I'll say, okay, is this the situation, or is there something here that I need to learn?
Patience is not one of my strong suits.
Well, then you, just like me, you end up being in situations where you have to wait. You end up behind slow people.
Some of the folks that I've had on the show who have helped us to nurture our spirits have talked about living in the moment, being in the moment. That if you're in a line, if you're in traffic, and you're about to you know, pop a vessel, that, you know, try to live in the moment. And I'll tell you, I've tried that. It is not easy.
It's easier said than done.
It sure is. Another thing that you talk about in this chapter is choice.
Yes. And it's a choice to be able to get yourself aligned with what's in front of you, to choose to learn what's there to learn, as opposed to just brushing it off, dismissing it, saying it's a fluke, you know, that this too will pass and we'll get on to the next one, but really seeing what's there in front of you for you to learn.
A hard lesson for us when we're trying to accept life's lessons is this issue of fairness, isn't it?
It's not fair.
Life is not fair, is it?
It's not fair at all, and some of us think that that was one of the rules. It's supposed to be fair. It's not. That's not part of the rule set. And as soon as you learn that, it gets better. You can look at and compare yourself to somebody and say, how come they got it so good and I didn't?
Yeah. You know, and you know what I tell people, whenever I see someone, whenever someone talks about, it sounds like they're envying someone, and or if I see someone that I would have a tendency to envy, you know what I say is, I don't really envy them what they have. For example, if they're rich, I don't envy them for their money. I envy the fact that they don't have to struggle. That's the only thing that I think I ever actually envy of anyone. Because I don't really want to be them. I mean, as distasteful as probably a lot of people might think it might be, I really don't mind being me.
Well, it's a different kind of struggling, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that, you know, if you have a lot of money, everything gets easy. There are different sets of choices.
Yeah. Another thing that's in this chapter that I really want to talk about is something that you've already demonstrated to me this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, I asked Cherie, when it took 19 years for her to get credit for the 10 Rules for Being Human, which it did, took 19 years, I asked her how she felt about that off the air. And she says, it was fine. It wasn't time for me to come out, to for that to be known about me. And that's a part in this chapter that she demonstrated to me, and that's grace. And I was impressed by that, Cherie.
Well, thank you, Jim. I mean, over the years, I did go through my own kicking and screaming of how come, you know, this isn't bigger, and why am I the world's best kept secret, and we do these wonderful workshops and seminars and nobody knows, and we just do it in small. And there was a certain point when I actually surrendered and said, you know, we'll do it, and we'll do it with integrity, and we'll do it well, we'll do it with excellence. And if people want to do it, they'll show up. They'll,
you know,
be here.
I can't have this discussion that we're having right now without talking about prayer. And that is, whenever I pray, I quit a long time ago. I quit praying for a timeline. I just prayed for insight. I prayed for understanding, because things happen in the time that they should have. In the time that it is required, I should say, and not when I want it to happen.
That's true.
As hard as I may work, it's going to happen when it's supposed to happen.
That's
and that's
true.
What happened to me. Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk to Cherie about rule number 3. There are no mistakes, only lessons. I like that. 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our new friend, Cherie Carter-Scott, the author of If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules. We're back. It's 44 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. smallbusinessadvocate.com. We're talking with Sheree Carter Scott. She is the author of If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules. It's based on the 10 Rules for Being Human, which she created, which she wrote. And I want to read these rules to you because we're not going to get through all of them. I didn't think we would, and I didn't want to today because there's so much stuff in each one of them. We'll get Sheree Carter Scott back on the show with us another day and talk about the rest of them. But I want to read them, all of them, to you before we go too much further. But before we do that, Sheree, I'd like for you to give us your website and tell us where your book is available.
Website is www.themms.com.
Themms.com.
Correct.
Okay. And the book is available in all bookstores. It's available online.
It should be. Okay. Everywhere.
Good. 750,000 in its 11th printing. Is that right?
Well, I think it's about its 15th printing right now. But
congratulations.
It's up there.
750,000 copies of this thing, folks, and it's still got a bullet. And you've got a new book coming out.
I do, and the new book is called If Love is a Game, These Are the Rules.
And when you were telling me about that, you said small business owners need love too, and I corrected you, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I said small business owners need more love than
That's
everyone
right.
else, right?
Well, it right goes back to number three, you know, there are no mistakes, only lessons, and if you commit what you think is a mistake, you need a lot of love.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need acceptance and reinforcement and validation. Because, you know, a lot of us who are small business owners expect ourselves to do a great job. And when we fall short of the mark, it's a moment to beat ourselves up if we do that.
And that brings me to this section of this chapter called forgiveness. We have to learn how to forgive ourselves, don't we?
Yes, we do. And then get on with it. So if you made a bad investment or you chose the wrong employee and it turned out bad for you, you got to forgive yourself and you got to learn from those mistakes and see them as lessons as opposed to the fact that you blew it.
In my consulting business, I spend a fair amount of my time keeping my clients from beating themselves up about things.
There you go.
Because we're so focused, we're so imprinted on our businesses. We're so stuck in everything that we do, and every little thing that goes wrong, we feel personally responsible for. And we are ultimately responsible. I mean, the buck stops with us. And that creates this element of expectation, and when things go wrong, it's not easy for us to forgive ourselves.
Well, it's the difference between responsibility and blame. We are responsible as business owners, but we don't need to blame ourselves for what went wrong. We need to learn from it and apply it so we don't have to repeat it.
Another section in this chapter is called humor.
Yes.
And I'm glad you stuck that in there.
Having a sense of humor is very important.
It's essential.
When we take ourselves too seriously, we can't actually get on with the business at hand. I mean, it's not as if we're running the world. We're running our business, which in fact is very important to us. But it isn't necessarily a make-it-or-break-it situation. We're not, most of us aren't in the business of, you know, life or death.
If I didn't laugh at myself, I would miss some of the best ones of my life.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to learn to do that. And you know what? You know what? It's to me, it's fun to laugh at myself. I shouldn't say it's fun, but it is interesting, and it's you can have a little fun with it when you laugh at yourself. But I'll tell you something else that's actually just as much fun, and that is laughing at people who can't laugh at themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that fun?
Oh, definitely. People who just take themselves too seriously.
So seriously.
All worked up over stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Especially the ones that you they're so bad that you can actually do it in front of them. I have fun with those people.
I know.
And it's even fun when they don't like it.
You're thinking of someone specific, I can imagine.
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Okay, let's move on and talk about rule number four. A lesson is repeated until learned.
It's both the good news and the bad news. You know, if you don't learn it the first time around, it'll show up again in another pair of pants. Same lesson, but just a different person.
You talk about six steps to executing any change in your life in this chapter.
Yeah. And I think that that's important to realize that it isn't rocket science. You can initiate change. The biggest problem with initiating change is the familiarity with the old pattern of the way we did it before, which just feels so comfortable to us. But there are six steps for personal and business change for everyone, and they're the same ones.
Talk to us about it. Go ahead and give them to us.
Well, step number one is you have to be aware of what it is that you want to change. Number two, you have to acknowledge what it is you want to change. And number three, make the choice to change it. After you make the choice to change it, you want to set about a strategy, an action plan. You want to commit to it so it doesn't abort halfway through. And then what you want to do is, after you complete it, you want to celebrate.
How many people have you seen, have you known over the years, that couldn't do any of this because they couldn't do number one, and that was just become aware of this?
It's the most important one of all, because a lot of us have a little nearsightedness or blind spots to our own issues. We tend to think it's somebody else's fault as opposed to ours.
Consciousness is essential. I love the four levels of consciousness. I know you've heard those. I've talked about it on the phone. The unconscious incompetent, the conscious incompetent, and then all the way down to the conscious competent, which is what we all ought to be striving for. Sheree Carter Scott is our guest and our new friend. She's the author of If Life Is a Game, These Are the Rules. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and come right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Don't go away. We are back. 64 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I want to remind you that our next guest is going to be Nat Kiplinger, president of the Kiplinger Editors, and he's going to be talking to us about Kiplinger's view of where the world is now and where it is going, especially with regard to small business owners. And then after that, Phil Nolman will be joining us. Phil Nolman is one of our marketing experts on the show, and looking forward to having him back on the show. Right now, we're visiting with our new friend, Sheree Carter Scott. She's the author of If Life Is a Game, These Are the Rules. And Sheree, your new book, which is called If Love Is a Game?
If Love Is a Game, These Are the Rules, the 10 Rules for Finding Love and Creating Long-Lasting, Authentic Relationships.
And that's coming out in about 30 days.
About October 12th is
okay.
The due date.
All right, good. We'll look for that, and you're going to send us a copy of it so we can talk about it on the show, because as we've said, if there's one thing small business owners need, it's lots of love, right?
Oh, definitely.
The chapter 5, and we're only going to get through at least chapter 5 today. We're going to get you back another day and do the other 5 of the rules. And let me read the rules as I promised a minute ago, folks. The 10 rules for being human. Number 1, you will receive a body. Number 2, you will be presented with lessons. Number 3, there are no mistakes, only lessons. Number 4, lessons are repeated until learned. Number 5, learning does not end. Sheree, would you do the last 5?
Yes, I will. Rule number 6, there is no better than here. Number 7, others are only mirrors of you. Number 8, what you make of your life is up to you. Rule number 9, all your answers lie inside of you. And rule number 10, you will forget all of this at birth.
And folks, as you can tell, the last 5 are power packed, and Sheree, we're gonna get you back on the show and talk about just those 5. But before we wrap up the hour, let's finish up on number 5. Learning does not end.
You know, lots of us think that there's a time in life when you, quote, graduate from the school of life.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets easy. And maybe it's retirement. Maybe it's when I move to a warmer climate. We think that that's the time when the lessons will go away, but they never do, because part of the process of being human and being alive is having lessons to learn right up until the day you die.
Yeah. I have 2 little things that I say to myself and to others when asked. In my spiritual life, I consider myself to be on a journey of faith.
Yes.
And in my personal life, I consider myself to be on a journey of understanding, and both of them will end at the same moment.
Yeah,
and they're 2 different realms, they're 2 different worlds, but I don't, I'm not looking forward to the destination. I like the journey. I like the trip.
That's great.
But you've got it. One of the things you point out in this chapter is you've got to be able to surrender. Tell us how to do that.
Well, surrender is not an easy thing to do. I mean, surrender is basically somewhere between release and giving up and accepting. It's a place inside yourself where you stop struggling and saying, why me, why now, why this is unfair. And you just surrender to the circumstances and say, okay, this is the way it is. Now, what do I want to do about it? As a small business owner, I remember once we had somebody, an employee, a bookkeeper, who actually stole money from us.
Mm. I've had that happen before.
How could this happen to
us?
Very
interesting.
You know, we trusted this person. We were good. And it was that kind of kicking and screaming. And finally it was, okay, it happened. Now, what can we do about it? How can we learn from it?
Yep.
How can we get on?
Absolutely. Another thing you talk about is commitment and humility and flexibility. You've got to have all three of those, don't you?
Well, I mean, each person has a different set of lessons. And I think I've gotten every single one in my life as a small business person. You know, making mistakes and learning lessons from them has been a real journey. And sometimes, you know, it's being on the verge of bankruptcy and everybody around you saying, you've got to go bankrupt, you know, you've got to declare Chapter 11.
Yep.
You think to yourself, is that the right way to go? And you think, no,
Cherie,
we can dig our ways out of this.
I'm going to let you, that's going to have to be the last word. I'm looking forward to having you back already. I've got to wrap it up for this hour. We'll see you later.
Thanks, Jim.
Cherie Carter-Scott, ladies and gentlemen. The book is If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Remember, small business owners, you're my hero. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.